epistle to the Hebrews. The epistle to the Hebrews, and I want to read to you a few verses in chapter 3. Chapter 3. This is one of those sections where the writer of this lovely epistle has reached a conclusion, and he is now bringing to us one of the many wherefores that he inserts in his epistle. Verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. Now, the office of Christ is not in the original text and ought to be left out. Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house of more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. Moses barely was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after, but Christ has a son. Notice he's not saying Jesus, but Christ as a son over his own house. Whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? First, let me say I associate with the early remarks of our dear brother and must thank those who are responsible for allowing us, both of us, to share in the ministry of this week, and do trust that the Lord's people will be blessed by the efforts, not only of ourselves, but of all those who take part in the Bible readings. And so we're looking for a time of blessing from the Lord. I think it was right and proper that our brother should point out to us today the greatness and the stature of this man called Moses. I remember a professor at Glasgow University. He wasn't a Christian. He didn't profess to be saved. He was the professor of business administration. And on one occasion when he was giving a lecture, he said to us, he said, the greatest leader of all time was a man called Moses. And I thought that was worthwhile. That he was a man recognizing the stature of this servant of God, way back in those early days, able to take a motley crowd of slaves out from the land of bondage without any organization, and he brings them in the fear of God to be a nation for God. And he did it not in the gears that it takes the greatest educationalists and socialists of the present day, many years to bring backward countries to a point of self-government. But this man did it in weeks. Of course, he had the help of God. He was a great leader of God's people. And many lessons are learned, not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, from this man called Moses. You would find, for example, that three times in this epistle, large sections of the epistle are given over to show to us the kind of man this was. We've just been reading in the first mention of his name, Moses. But if you turn to chapter 11, you would discover that he's ranked there and given a number of verses among the saints who have exercised faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how it all begins, with faith and confidence in God. Good to see so many here today. And maybe a little gospel challenge wouldn't be out of the way. We're glad to have you. But I wonder if you can look back to a day when definitely you put your faith in God. Not only for time, but for eternity. That's where it starts. And here is now, in this lovely epistle, Moses in chapter 11, he not only began in faith, but he lived his life on the principle of faith, confidence in God. You will find that he's discussed as a prophet when you get to chapter 12 of this lovely epistle. And you will find something said about him there that are very worthy of the man and for all of us to follow. He feared God. When he's handling the scriptures that God gave him, he was in trembling. He felt his responsibility. And every servant of God ought to feel like that. Handling divine things needs divine unction. You cannot do it simply by intellectual or natural means. They must be spiritually, not only controlled, but spiritually announced. What we have in this particular section, and I'll hurry as we get through it, is just to show you the counterpart of what God did in the Old Testament. He has a house in the New Testament. And what we have in chapter 2 and chapter 3 of Hebrews is the background that our brother has brought before us. There was this man called Moses. We've heard about the tremendous moral grit of the midwives and how they preserved the great truth of sonship. That's been attacked down through the years. But they preserved sonship in Israel. And out from it, you would also find, according to Hebrews 11, that the parents of Moses exercised faith. And you know what they did with the child? They preserved the child as long as they could from the world of Egypt. They hid the child. You say, well, of course, that's what every godly couple ought to do with their children. Not only to pray with them and pray for them, but to hide them and to preserve them. You would then discover in the story of Moses that he was miraculously taken from the river Nile, the river of death, and he was brought up in the house of Pharaoh. And he had given to him all the perks of that household. He would be trained to read and to write. I read one writer who said perhaps the only man in Israel that could write would be Moses. God chose him. And God taught him. And God led him. Even in the land of Egypt. And he was still there. God was able to use his organizing ability taught to him in Egypt. And God was able to use his writing capacity. And he's given to us the first 5 books of our Bible. Wonderful man of God he became. But there came a day when Moses looked down and discovered that God's people, like himself, belonged to God. And he wanted to have fellowship with them. I'm not going into the details of all that happened, of the wrongs that were committed, but deep down in the breast of Moses, and buried deep in his faith in God, was his affinity for the people of God. That needs stress today, doesn't it? To love our brethren, and to show it. How would Moses do it? He wasn't a slave. But I read in chapter 2 of Hebrews, "For as much then as the children were partakers of blood and flesh, he also himself likewise took part of the same." What's the Old Testament corollary to that? There's a man in a palace, and he says, "I'm going down. I'm leaving all this. I'm going to live, but live by faith. I'm going to live for God." God can use a man like that. And God did use him, and we've heard about that. He built a house for God ultimately. But he was more than that. He remained the greatest leader. Oh, Aaron was appointed. But you read the promise in Exodus 25. God said to Moses and to nobody else in Israel, "There I will meet with thee. There I will commune with thee." Oh, you say, what a privilege. You see, this was a man who was willing to give up a world of glory and power down here that belongs to this age. And his heart and his mind was set to go with God, to go with God's people. And so we learn here that in the character and in the calling that's in verse 1 of chapter 3 of Hebrews, I discover that Moses was an apostle. What about his priesthood? Oh, he gave that up. He declined it to allow Aaron in. Oh, and then we discover what more about him. He builded a house, and he was faithful in all his house. My beloved, is it not so that what is needed more than anything else today is simple fidelity to the Word of God and faithfulness to the house of God? May God help us. Our time has gone. Let's pray. O God, our Father, we come to thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank thee that we are attached to a house far greater than the calling of Moses and all the associations that he had. For thou hast called us into fellowship with our Lord Jesus. And it was no palace on earth that he left. We bless thee that he came down from thy very side. He had everything to enjoy with thee. We bless thee for the day of incarnation, when God was manifest in flesh. O God, we thank thee that he too is building a house. One day it will be finished. And it will become not only a house for him, but a bride. We look forward to the day when we shall see him. We pray that at this particular time in life's journey, that thou shalt give us the grace we need just to be faithful to him and to thy word. We give thanks for all who have gathered today and seek thy help as we part, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.